Welcome to another message from Brian Nugent, lead pastor at Generations Church. It is our prayer that this message will be a blessing and encouragement to your life.
All right, take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me. I'm going to go through a lot of scripture this morning, but I want you to turn to Psalms 119, 44, and 45. That is the theme verse that of this series that I kind of want you to underline and keep with you, because I'm going to take you through a lot of scripture this morning. So we're talking about wide open spaces. We believe that God has given us wonderful freedom in Christ. So we're going to talk about all the wide open spaces that we have, all the freedom that we have, but also in the midst of the wide open space, there are fences and boundaries that God puts there for our particular benefit. So in this series, we're going to talk about the wide open spaces and the boundaries when it comes to marriage, money, the tongue, life balance, parenting, our walk with God. We're going to compare and contrast those through the next few weeks. So the passage that I want you to get right now, underline, highlight it, whatever you do. It's kind of our theme scripture, Psalms 119, 45, and 46. It says, I'll stride freely. This is in the message. I'll stride freely through wide open spaces as I look for your truth and your wisdom. So there, he's looking, he's enjoying the wide open spaces. But in the midst of that, there are boundaries and there's truth and freedom that he is, and wisdom that he is looking for. So that is that's a life verse for us. God has blessed us and given us a wonderful life, but in the midst of that, he's got some barriers and some boundaries that he wants us to see. So our message last week was the first part of this series. We talked out of Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3. God has a life of blessing plan for us. God will always let us know where his boundaries are. God's boundaries are for my protection. God's boundaries for my life are sometimes inconvenient. And there is blessing if I honor his boundaries, and trouble if I don't. So that was the kind of the outline from last week. So this morning, wide open spaces, we're going to talk about sex and sexuality this morning. We're going to talk about the freedom that God has given us and the boundaries that God has given us. So this morning, I'm going to preach this, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to go for it. Now, next service, my mother is going to be here. Yeah, so, I'll just work my way through that with my mom sitting out in the audience. So, it's all good. So let's talk about the wide open spaces that God has given us, the freedom that God has given us in the area of sexuality. And I'll put these scriptures up. Genesis 1:27. We go back to the garden. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number. And we know that doesn't happen just through imagination, right? All right. The next verse, Genesis 2:21-25. So the Lord God caused the man to fall in a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of man's ribs, closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord made a woman from the rib taken out of man. He brought her to man. Man said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is to be united in his wife. They became one flesh, and Adam and his wife were both naked and felt no shame. Hebrews chapter 13. Guard the sacredness of sexual intimacy. Guard the sacredness of sexual intimacy. So this is one of many passages where God talks about sex and sexuality. So I want to talk about the wide open spaces. We're going to just talk about the wide open spaces that we have, and then we'll come back and talk about boundaries in just a moment. So the first thing I want you to remember about sex and sexuality, God created it, he affirms it, and he blesses it. God created it, he affirms it, and he blesses it. God is pro-sex. All right? That's going to be fun when my mom's in here. All right? Our culture thinks that God is against sex and that the church is against sex. Okay, that's the way our culture thinks. But that's not the case. God created it. God, you know, affirms it. God blesses it. That's why I'm preaching on it this morning. It's not a dirty word. It's not something that should be hidden away. It is a wonderful gift that God has given toward humanity. He is the designer of it. He is the architect of it. And he blesses it when it's done in the proper parameters. All right, so the next thing. Wide open spaces. We have a natural God-given attraction to the opposite sex. This is the way God wired us. It was not a shock to him when Adam went, "Oh my God, who is this woman standing here?" That was not a shock. That's the way he made us. He created us with an attraction. He created us with sexual desires and sexual passions. It was not an accident. It is wired deep in our own humanity. Number three, what I want you to know, recurring sexual intimacy is beneficial to us physically and emotionally. It's good for us. We are created with those passions and those desires and those attractions, and in the right proper context, that gives us an outlet for that, and it is healthy for us. So reoccurring sexual intimacy is beneficial to us. Now, the only time, so it should be a regular part, regular part of life, and the only time Paul said that you should stop was when a couple decides they are going to go for a time of prayer and fasting, okay? And that's when he said it should cease. Now, let me just tell you something. In 30 years of ministry, no couple's ever come to me using that scripture. Men would rather give up a double cheeseburger and fast food than sex with their wives, all right? So, reoccurring sexual intimacy is beneficial to us physically and emotionally. Number four, it is guilt-free. There is no shame, there is no embarrassment, there is no regret when it's done in the proper context. Adam and Eve stood innocent before God as sexual beings, and it has the blessing of God upon it, all right? Wide open spaces. It should be romantic and passionate. That's a great time to say amen. It should be romantic and passionate. It is the ultimate expression, the ultimate physical expression for two people who have committed their lives to each other. And there is a bond that takes place. Your love, your care, you're attracted to them, you are connected to them, and it is the ultimate expression for two people who love each other and have committed their lives to each other. All right? It should be romantic. It should be passionate. Let me just say, and I'm going to come to kids in just a minute, but we're having way too many babies around here, all right? Our budget for baby cupcakes is way over budget. I've used up all the baby dedication scriptures. So we need to slow this train down a little bit. So here's my advice. Take Lionel Richie off your playlist. That's right. Truly out. Three times a lady, out, out, out. Brick House, delete. Should be romantic. Should be passionate. It provides physical pleasure. The bodies of men and women are made differently by our Creator. They're made in such a unique and different way that their design in the midst of sex brings physical pleasure. That's not an accident by our Creator either. It's a gift from our Creator. It's better than Disney World, roller coaster, jumping out of a plane. It's better than all of that. Provides physical pleasure. The seventh part of wide open spaces, the wide open spaces part. Children are conceived out of this wonderful, loving, caring moment. So isn't that part of the grand part of the designer, that two people that love each other in the midst of the greatest physical expression that they have, in the midst of love and caring, in the midst of that great act, a child is conceived. That's not accident. That's the designer that is there. He said, be fruitful and multiply. And it happens in the context of that. Now, in about 8 months, it will be fascinating to see the Hurricane Hermine babies. I mean, you know, power's out, Wi-Fi's out. What else is there to do? We'll see another rush of babies in a few months. All right. So that's our wide open spaces. God's for it. Go for it. Enjoy it. That's the gift. God created, not by accident. God designed it. All right. So let's look at the boundaries concerning sex and sexualities. Now, let me say this first. We need to watch those that move boundaries when it comes to sex and sexuality. You need to watch those on your movies, your actors, your music, your television, all of that, because they're saying today, hey, that boundary's not there. It's way over there. Or a lot of people are going, there's no boundary at all. You are your own. You determine your own boundaries. So we got to watch those that say boundaries have moved or there's no boundaries when it comes to sex and sexuality. You kind of determine your own. You determine your own, you know, your own boundaries. So here's the first boundary. No sexual activity before or outside of marriage. Boom. All right. Just, there you go. 1 Thessalonians 4, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. Each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is honorable and holy, okay? So we control it, so we live our lives in a holy and honorable way. 1 Corinthians 6, flee sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside of his body, but he who sexually sins against his own body. So it's not just, you know, my own passions. There are other complications that come, and we'll talk about it in just a minute. Hebrews 13:4. Honor marriage and guard the sacredness of sexual intimacy between wife and husband. God draws a firm line against casual and illicit sex. So he puts some boundaries there. I've created this wonderful thing, and here's the boundaries that you should be married. So God is not trying to deny you of the pleasure of sexuality, but he is trying to keep you from harm. Did we talk about that last week? Isn't that what a parent does? A parent defines the boundaries, and that's what God says. Here's this wonderful gift I'm going to put in your heart, and here's the fences and the boundaries. Live in it. You'll live a blessed life. If you live on the other side, man, there'll be complications in your life. You see, every time you have sexual intercourse with someone, you become one flesh with that person. You are united in every possible way, physically, emotionally, spiritually. It involves the heart, soul, mind, and spirit. It's an important moment. Even the scripture talks about that moment. The term is like you are glued together. You're glued together in that moment. And if you don't have the relationship and the long-term relationship, the marriage relationship, then when you pull that apart, there's a tearing. There's a tearing. And when you have multiple partners, how many times are we tearing and tearing our lives? Okay? That's why there's emotional trauma a lot of times when people live a life that they go from person to person, from bed to bed, from marriage to marriage. There's an emotional trauma that occurs. So God's not saying, don't ever. He's saying, wait a minute, I got a better way that you will live and not have the emotional, you know, the emotional concerns and damage. We see Hollywood actors, actresses, rock stars, reality stars that go from bed to bed, marriage to marriage, person to person. And we look at that and go, wow, that's the way you're supposed to live. As many sexual partners as you can. Man, that's the ultimate. But we are not there when we see that they feel used, cheap, hurt, violated, confused, having had the most intimate physical act with someone who's basically a stranger. We do not witness the trauma when they come up with pregnancy or when they go through an abortion. We don't see that. We don't see that. So the scripture says the marriage bed is pure. God says there's wide open spaces, but it's in the marriage bed. It's in the marriage bed. So there is a green light when it comes to sex, and that's when you say, I do. All right? So don't do anything now that you will regret later. Okay? Young people, young adults, don't do anything now that you will regret later. Gordon MacDonald, in Rebuilding Your Broken World, says 50% of American midlife males live with at least one secret in their past that they fear would bring catastrophic consequences if revealed. All right? We don't want to live our lives putting skeletons in the closet and then living with fear that one day when I'm older, my kids, my family. So I'm just saying to you, don't go down that path. You live pure. You live God's way. You live God's way, all right? And I also want to say that sex is better with the person that you have a loving, committed marriage relationship. It's better, all right? Now, let me show you an article. It's not a Christian. It's the result of a poll, and it's not even a Christian poll. It's not, you know, it's just 19,000 people. They talked about, you know, their sexual activity in relation to their spouse, and here's what they said. And it's so counterculture. The results of this is so counterculture. This is their result. The lower number of sex partners makes for better sex with your spouse. That's the opposite of what you hear, right? The more, the better. You know why? Because there's less baggage in our life. There's less emotional hurt, pain, turmoil. The more sexual activity you have with your spouse, the more pleasurable it becomes. Now, you never hear that. It's always bed to bed to bed, person to person to person, marriage to marriage to marriage. But actually, those who've been married a long time says it's much more pleasurable when you are committed and faithful, you know, in a monogamous relationship. Next part, this is great. Hookups aren't really that satisfying. Never hear that, do you? To married people, because it's always the hookup. Always the one-night stand. Always somebody that I see across the room. People are going, you know what? It's just not really that good. Because that act is supposed to be with someone that you are, that you love, that you are committed to. It's not made for the one-night stand. The glue is tearing and you have no emotional relationship. So this hookups aren't that satisfying. In the last part of this study, waiting makes sex better. Waiting makes sex better. So you find someone that you love and you wait and you are patient and you honor God's boundaries for that. And in the long run, it will make your sexual relationship much better. Okay? That's not my study. That's the Federalist. So let me just say, I've done so many weddings in my life. I've done a lot of weddings. A couple of things I've always noticed. People that have saved themselves for marriage never, on the eve of their wedding, live in regret. They're always thankful. They're always thankful. And they're thankful that the wait is almost over. All right? But another thing I've always noticed is that those that have been sexually active live in regret on the moment that they are about to give their heart and their body to someone else. I've noticed that pattern. I've had that prayer of people that feel terrible at the moment of their wedding that they lived outside of God's boundaries. So let's honor that. Okay, let's honor God's boundary. And it's the marriage bed that is pure. And outside of the marriage bed, God says, wait. It's for you. But let's do it the right way that's going to bring blessing to your life. Okay, second boundary that I want to talk about this morning is homosexual sex. Okay, because there's another boundary that God places here. So you may be here today. You may be curious about that lifestyle. You might be experimenting in that lifestyle. You might even be living that lifestyle to the full. Okay, and if you are, I just want to say I'm very glad that you're here today. I'm very glad. I'm not uncomfortable that you're here, or maybe you go here. I'm not uncomfortable with that. I'm glad you're here. And I just want you to take a couple of moments because I want to give you another side to this that I want you to think about. So here's the scriptural boundary. I want to give you two verses. Now, there are many verses, but I want to give you a couple that shows you the boundaries of God's sexual parameters here. So Romans 1:27 said, in the same way, men abandoned natural relations with a woman and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men, receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. 1 Timothy 1:10. This has a different take to it. We all know that the law is made not for righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and the sinful, unholy, irreligious, for those who kill their fathers, mothers, murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, slave traders, liars, perjurers, whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms the gospel of the glory of the blessed God which he's entrusted to me. So he's naming a lot of different things, all right, that he calls a lawbreaker outside the boundaries. So one thing I want you to know, he mentions all sexual immorality. Okay, he mentions all sexual immorality, but specifically he mentions homosexuality. So it's not just one target, you know, that's beyond the boundary. It's all sexual immorality outside of the marriage bed. So let me say to you, those boundaries are not to rob you. Those boundaries are to protect you. Anytime, listen to me, anytime there is a boundary, God has something better for you, and God is trying to protect you from something worse happening to you. Got it? Anytime there's a boundary, it means God's got something better, but there's also something worse if you continue to go past that. So I'm saying, and I did a whole message, if you want to go back in last year's iTunes, I did an entire message on this, and I'm just taking just a little bit this morning. So I just want to say, according to our designer, that the human body is not made for homosexual sex, okay? So people have the same sexual passions, but they are trying to imitate heterosexual sex, but in unnatural and unhealthy ways, all right? So a couple of things. Number one, the suicide rate with homosexuals is 3 times what it is in the regular population. Okay, so there's a warning sign there. Something's amiss there. And then also HIV and AIDS. Human body's not created that way. Men, to have unprotected sex, there is a great chance that you will get sick and die. Okay? Now, we don't have any pleasure with that at all. I'm just telling you, That's the end result of not going down the boundaries that God has intended. So, Center for Disease Control, 2014, 44,000 people were diagnosed with HIV infection. So, even though you hear this, you don't ever hear this, people are still getting HIV, they're still getting AIDS in large numbers. It's still occurring. The overwhelming majority of that were gay and bisexual men, about 83% of those. So most of those that are getting HIV and AIDS are gay and bisexual men. So I'm just saying to you, this is part of the boundary that God says, don't go outside of that boundary. I've got something better for you. So this is not to punish you, but those boundaries are to keep you away from harm. No sexual activity outside of God's plan will bring you into right relationship with God. So it affects you also physically, it affects you emotionally, but also it affects your walk with God. No sexual immorality, none, will bring you into right relationship with God, okay? All right, and the third boundary, breaking the marriage covenant, adultery. Breaking the marriage covenant, adultery. That's the third boundary. All right, so Moses comes down with the tablets, and out of the top 10, one of those says, you'll not commit adultery. All right? So in that very moment, God lays down the first protective barrier for the family. So he's going, hey, this marriage covenant means something. You be faithful to it. It's good for you. It's good for society. It's good for your family. In every way, it's good. Don't stray. Don't stray. All right. Then Jesus came back and said, you have heard it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So adultery is entertaining relational and physical fantasies with someone who's not your spouse. Sometimes we think adultery is the physical act. And Jesus said, no, biblical adultery is when you entertain it in your mind. Now, if we stop it up here, it will never work its way out in our bodies, right? It never will. So how does it begin? How does it begin? I want to give you a few things really quick. One of the most common ways that adultery begins in a marriage is pornography. Pornography. Francis Chan said in You, Me, and Forever, two things that affect marriages are the most are porn and flirting. Porn and flirting. So the effect of pornography begins with a sexual fascination on screen about another individual. And it builds and plants seeds into the heart of individuals that one day it starts a fire in your heart that one day you cannot contain, and you will act on those thoughts and those impulses. And most of it isn't real anyway, okay? You've got people that have had surgeries, it's lighting, that wasn't good, let's reshoot it again, computer generated. I mean, it's not even a real world experience anyway. But when you watch it, it can make the body of your spouse look unattractive. Because you are contrasting it with someone that's not hardly real. Okay, so you look at your own spouse and go, wow, man, they don't look as good. Of course, we don't think that about our own selves, do we? We always think we're hot. We always think we're good looking. So it makes your spouse look unattractive, and it will make your spouse and your sex life seem boring. Wow. Look at all that. Look at all that. You know? So you put that all in your heart, and then you take the next step. Your spouse doesn't look as good. Every part of your life looks boring. And then all of a sudden you've got all these thoughts and this fire that's burning in your heart. And pornography makes you go do something that you will pay a terrible price for. Now let me just say this while I'm here. I hear some people go, we started watching pornography because we need to spice up our sex life. Okay? Now let me just say, you don't spice up your sex life by bringing poison in the bedroom, all right? So if you want to spice up your sex life, you just add Lionel Richie back to the playlist. We'll, you know. Oh, Lord, my mother has no idea what's going to happen this morning. Pornography, a decaying marriage. A decaying marriage. So sometimes our marriage aren't perfect, and we open ourselves up to the consideration of other relationships because we're having issues at home. So I want to say to you, you know, if you feel like you're treated bad, you know, or you feel like your marriage needs work, okay, it never gives you permission to be unfaithful. All right? We think my marriage, okay, well, I'm a decaying marriage, so this is kind of the end. It's kind of the beginning of the end. So, you know, I'll start to look around. Absolutely not. Once you make that decision, divorce and infidelity is certain, okay? We don't look around for someone to cry on their shoulder, because usually the shoulder we cry on will be the shoulder that will wreck our marriage and wreck their home. So if there are issues in my, and thing, look, even in church, sometimes marriages need some work, all right? So let's start with recommitting our life to Christ and prayer and recommitting to ourselves to marriage and going to marriage counseling and dating. Let's commit ourselves to that. And let's believe that God can bring wholeness back into the marriage. And the last part, how does it begin? Social or business relationships, all right? Because eventually, I mean, we have connections with all kinds of people, and eventually that friendship will cross the line. And usually the first thing to go is that you begin to keep secrets and you begin to tell lies. And once you start down that road, then the damage begins. You will find yourself sharing thoughts and information to someone else that should have been shared with your spouse. And in the midst, your attention goes one way when your attention should be back to your spouse and the healing of your marriage. So how can I prevent it from happening to me? I'm going to give you these. I've given you these before. Every time I preach on this topic, I'm going to give these to you, all right? Jesus said that within our hearts are thoughts of evil, sexual immorality, adultery, and lewdness. So we carry that around all the time. We carry it around. It's just there. We got to acknowledge that and put barriers up. So I'm going to give you a barrier of accountability, all right? These are not sin within themselves, six sensible boundaries to protect your marriage. These boundaries within themselves are not sin, okay? But they will keep you if you'll listen to them. So number one, watch being alone with someone of the opposite sex. You just always need to have somebody around. That is a good, wise thing to do. Watch compliments and their effect on some of the opposite sex. Watch when we plant seeds into someone else's life, because you never know what that other person's going through. So you might mean it very innocently, but you never know how they are receiving that. Watch traveling alone with someone of the opposite sex. Businesses don't think anything about putting people of the opposite sex on the same airplane, the same hotel, they're going out of town. They don't think anything about that. They're all thinking business. But there's a human dynamic to that, you know, so we need to watch out for that, all right? Watch having phone, text, email, private social media conversations, relationships with someone of the opposite sex. So eventually, it's not about business or whatever you're talking about anymore. Then it becomes personal. It just becomes personal. It becomes social. And the phone and social media on all that way is a great way to kind of hide that, all right? Watch complaining about your spouse, and worship team, you guys can come up. Watch complaining about your spouse to someone of the opposite sex. When you complain, you open the door. When you complain, you open the door. So if you want to complain, you come see your pastor. I'll listen to it. I'll be the one. I'll be glad to do it. We'll sit there and we'll complain together. Well, not complain together. I'm out of, you know. I mean, we'll just. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Scratch that from the video, please. All right. You know what I'm talking about. And never hide something that happens out of the ordinary. Never hide. Something unusual might be something small. You need to go ahead and just go, hey, This was an odd interaction that I had today. You need to go ahead and tell them. Because the first step toward this is the first secret. Once we begin the first secret, then the foundation is laid for the next lie. Okay? So I want to tell you, those are six sensible boundaries. They within themselves are not sin, but they will keep you, from that path. So they come get Jesus. And there's a crowd standing around, and there's a woman on the ground. People are stoning, ready to pick up stones. What's happened? This woman's in adultery. What should we do? Jesus started writing in the sand. We don't know what he was writing. All of a sudden, he picked her up, and he said, "Where are your accusers? They're not here anymore. You're not condemned. But go and sin no more." Okay? So I want to say to you this morning, if you are here today, when you heard the topic, you went, oh my goodness. Because maybe you spent a portion of your life over the boundary, or you've made some unfortunate choices over there. I want to say to you that you can be forgiven of that. There's no condemnation. And Jesus says, go and sin no more. We could have followed the law here and pounded you with stone, but that's not God's way. So I want to say this morning, I want you to know, God created this thing. God created it. And he said, hey, along the way, here's a few little guidelines. But outside of that, you enjoy it. You enjoy that gift, all right? But there are people that they've made choices and mistakes there. And I'm just going to do a prayer this morning. I want you to stand this morning. I'm not going to call anybody down this morning. That'd be a little personal. But if number one, if you're a young person, you're married, whatever. Hey, I want you to hear those boundaries. Live behind those boundaries, okay? Live behind those boundaries. They're not there to deny you. They are there to protect you, okay? Then if you're here today, Maybe you've had a season over. I want to pray for you this morning. Maybe you carry guilt. Maybe there's some skeletons there. Maybe you're involved in it now. All right? You're involved in that now. This is your warning light. This is your moment that God's going, hey, get back over that boundary. Okay?
This concludes the message. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened. For more information, please visit our website at gctlh.org.